Now, people say that this TikTok ban will only apply to TikTok or maybe another company that pops up just like TikTok. But the bill is written so broadly that the president could abuse that discretion and include other companies that aren't just social media companies and that aren't, as some people would believe, controlled by foreign adversaries. Again, we're giving the president that discretion to decide whether it is controlled by a foreign adversary. There were some people who were legitimately concerned that this was an overly broad bill, and they got an exclusion written into the bill that I want to read. It says, the term covered company does not include an entity that operates a website or application whose primary purpose is to allow users to post product reviews, business reviews, or travel information and reviews. Why is this exception in the bill? Why did somebody feel like they needed this exception if the bill itself only covers social media applications that foreign adversaries are running? These and other questions we hope to answer in the course of this debate, and I reserve the balance of my time.
I love Thomas Massie. He's like the conscience of the nation, isn't he? He really is. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you, top of this very first hour here on Wednesday. I almost said Tuesday, and you would have been mad at me. It's Wednesday. We're halfway through. It's hump day. That was just from the debate that took place because they passed that, the House passed. Now it's going to go to the Senate. They passed the TikTok bill. The bill about the TikToks, Kane. That's what they passed. Yeah. I hate this damn app. I just, I feel like I'm in a Black Mirror episode. Every time I get up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I hear the phrase TikTok star and I want to yeet myself off a cliff. So, hi, nice to be with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can follow along, stream it. You may be listening to us right now through the podcast, the archive podcast, or the video component, the simulcast, the Channel 347, DirecTV. You can find us YouTube, Facebook also. So this bill, which we talked to Brendan Carr with the FCC yesterday, he and Massie agree on a lot. They agree on more than they don't agree on. Let's just be clear with that stuff. But he was saying that he isn't, Brendan Carr wasn't as concerned with some of this other stuff that we were bringing up. And we asked him, I pressed him on it. I'm like, well, did Amazon get a carve out? He did say that foreign adversary was defined essentially as what? North Korea, Russia, and Iran and China. So foreign adversary of the, their TikTok's right there with China. And then we talked about the difference between illicit conduct and free speech. Because, if you're doing something that's espionage, that's, under our laws, that's not necessarily free speech. That's not a free speech issue. So we had that whole conversation yesterday with Brendan Carr. And you can find that discussion also up at YouTube. We have it archived up there if you missed it yesterday. Okay, so the situation with this bill, it's going to go to the Senate, like I said, and they're demanding that TikTok be sold. If you don't understand the hierarchy here, so you have ByteDance, which is a CCP company, CCP, the Communist Chinese Party. Now, in China, and we've talked about this with Stephen Yates before, and I'm just bringing everyone up to speed in case some people had an extended weekend, etc. With doing business in China, if you're going to do business in China, you have to be a member of the Communist Party in good standing, whatever that means. And you also have to have like a member of the CCP on your board. So ByteDance, which is the parent company of TikTok, it's CCP owned. I mean, it's made up of CCP board members and they have a CCP party member on the board too. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's they're one and the same. And that's how a lot of businesses are in China. That was one of the aspects of the big takeover with a lot of business in Hong Kong as well, that people were protesting against. So TikTok is a subsidiary of ByteDance being owned by the CCP. So what the bill is demanding is that ByteDance sells, they can sell TikTok. They can sell TikTok just so long as they're not going to be under that CCP umbrella. And there's been a lot of debate as to like how much or exactly what information has been shared with the CCP by ByteDance, because there's information. One thing that's unarguable is that there is information that TikTok is sending to ByteDance, and ByteDance is sending information to Beijing. Exactly what all of that is, well, that's one of the big giant questions. But with everything from the IP theft and, you know, digital warfare and everything else that we've seen just from China in the past, you know, decade plus. I mean, they're up to nothing, no good. I mean, there's no reason why you need to send all of that information on users such as, you know, like that up to Beijing through ByteDance. So they're saying, look, you got to divest. You have to divest. ByteDance has to sell TikTok or they're going to ban it in the U.S. 352 to 65 is what it passed. So now this fight shifts to the Senate. And this is where this is going to go. Now, China, interestingly enough, and I'm always endlessly amused when tyrants and communist countries decide that they want to try to say that, oh, but you guys have free speech. How dare you not let us be part of it? They don't even have free speech in China. But they have been trying to use that as a way to stoke maybe some opposition on the right, to use the language of patriots to get you to support something that is CCP advantageous, right? And I do agree with Brendan Carr in that illicit conduct isn't free speech and espionage isn't an act of free speech. But I also am concerned about even getting anywhere close to the idea of giving the executive branch the authority to ban apps. And that's now you. I think for me to completely adopt the former, I would have to totally disregard nuance, because we understand that that's not what this bill does. But we also understand, and I spent some time going through the text of it last night, and Brendan Carr, we talked to him again, FCC commissioner yesterday, is correct in that, yes, the adversaries are defined. There's still some parts of the language that's a little bit vague to me, some parts of the text that's a little vague. I thought the exclusions were interesting. I mean, I'm not going to ask a member of the government and expect them to be like, yes, they did actually. Did Amazon get a carve out? Oh, yes, they did. Do you believe them? I don't care who it is. I don't think they're going to tell me. But that being said, the legislation is called the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. So it's going to the Senate. We don't know, because the Senate's pretty divided. And it's not just Democrats and Republicans, like Republicans versus Republicans and Democrats versus Democrats. It's really weird in that this is not a party line thing. I haven't been able to say that about a piece of legislation in quite some time. This is not actually a party line vote situation. This is, I think, people who are maybe, I think you can be on the left and be more libertarian, and I think you can be on the right and be more libertarian. And that's where the divide seems to be, because there are some senators in the Democrat Party who agree entirely with some senators in the Republican Party. And there are some of those Democrats that disagree with those Democrats, but they agree with the other Republicans that are disagreeing with those Republicans. So it's a little bit uncertain to see, because they feel pretty divided. And when you look at other efforts that states have made, whether it's state-led efforts, I think Florida has been one of the most aggressive and most successful. Other federal attempts to curtail this with TikTok have kind of stalled out. So the other thing that's really makes this all confusing is you have the two dudes running for president again that both like TikTok. Donald Trump likes TikTok. He's defending TikTok. Now, guys, let me tell you something. Patriotism isn't kissing the ass of a leader and thinking that that is being true to your country. Patriotism is calling balls and strikes where they hit. There is not a single politician on God's green earth that I agree with 100%. And that even includes Ron DeSantis. I don't know. Maybe it's because I got the balls and I can say it. I think everybody else needs to also be just as clear-coded on this stuff. Because we can't have Trump going out there bragging about the vaccine, and we can't have Trump going out there sitting here talking about how he likes TikTok more than Facebook and that he doesn't think TikTok should be banned. Stop it. Just stop. Don't do that. Why? Why do you do that? Oh my gosh. It's like I want to shake people and go, do you not want to win in 2024? What is the matter with you? Stop it. I feel like a Muppet. Ah! That's what I feel like. Animal. Oh my gosh. Because I saw that yesterday. I asked Brendan Carr about that. And you guys saw it. Come on. Now, I don't care where you fall. This is not about, well, I can't criticize Trump because then I'm not MAGA. Golly, stop. Right now, this is about consistency. Do you want to win in 2024? Do you want to be able to have companies that are based in Beijing getting information and using it in acts of espionage against the interests of the United States? Or do you just want to argue that you don't think the government should be able to ban? I mean, this is what we need to be honest about. So what makes this whole thing muddied is that you have both Biden and Trump out there. They both essentially agree on TikTok. I don't know. Did we accidentally get a boomer high? What the hell? What is happening here? I don't like TikTok. So they've been trying to tell me, oh, we need to get a show account on TikTok. Telling me to do anything I don't want to do is really just a fool's errand. And I'm like, I'm not going to get on TikTok. And they're like, well, maybe we'll create a show ticket because, you know, you got to go to, I understand you got to go to where the culture is. But out of spite, sometimes I just will, well, I don't want to do it. I just, it's like that penguin meme when he crosses his arms. I don't want to do it. I feel like that right now. Because Biden, he just literally created a TikTok account in February for his campaign. And they try to go, the Democrats who are trying to cover that up are like, well, you know, it wasn't Joe Biden that did it. It was his campaign. Shut up. Whose campaign is it? Oh, it's Joe Biden's campaign. Okay, there's enough said. End of story. The end. That's it. But I need Trump to not be like, oh yeah, TikTok. We don't want, because he said that he's mad at Facebook, right? I don't like Meta. I probably have more reason than most people listening to not like Meta. They have throttled the hell out of me. They've removed things. They have demonetized things. They have come at me six ways. They've hurt me professionally. So has YouTube. Very much so. So I have more reason than most to not like Facebook and Meta. But I will say, they refuse to bend the knee in China. That is why there is no Facebook in China. They have a CCP-friendly alternative. So they don't have a Facebook in China because they wouldn't bend the knee to it. So I got to give credit to where credit is due. Now, some of the other stuff we're going to be hitting, we're following the TikTok in the Senate. Do you know that Kane? This is file this under reason 5,011-D4 as to why I don't do cruises, because apparently they're still making port in Haiti. Oh, man. Anybody up for a barbecue? Anyway, I shouldn't have said that, but I did. So we're going to get into that. We got some law and order. We got all kinds of stuff to hit. Immigration. We've got some culture. The latest with the U.S. and the Gaza Pier. No border wall, but they'll do a pier outside of Gaza. We got all of that and a whole bunch more.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
The human soul is made to learn, and the highest things of life are the best things to learn. One of these, it turns out, is the way we govern ourselves, and one of the best examples of that is the Constitution of the United States. It explains what our government should look like and how it should function to best protect our rights. It was created to give us the freedom to make choices about the way we wish to live. Unfortunately, most colleges and universities today fail to teach our Constitution. When they do, they often denigrate it. This is dangerous because it is impossible to preserve our liberty if we don't understand where it comes from and how to protect it. Having a proper civics education is essential to preserving our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
The news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I have to remark on that snitch commercial that plays, that snitch PSA. It's like, if you see something, say something. Be a snitch. Shh, don't maybe. I don't know. All right, so I didn't say that. Who said that? This is a ghost. Scientists apparently just got closer to creating artificial life in the lab. Well, we already know that they've done it once because it's President of the United States. They said that this is the road to how life can arise in a laboratory. This sounds horrible. Who's your mom and dad? A lab. The Washington Post quotes scientists saying that they've created an RNA molecule that made copies of other types of RNA, and they're closer to doing something they shouldn't be doing. I'm telling you, you guys read about the tower in the Bible, right? Right? I feel like that Natalie Portman meme. Remember the Tower of Babel, right? It's the Salk Institute for Biological Studies. Those scientists worked from the theory that before there were DNA or proteins, RNA existed as the initial ingredient in the quote-unquote delicious primordial soup. Nom, nom, nom. And as part of their research, they said they created lab-made RNA. Just stuff they shouldn't be doing. Stop it. Stop it. Do we not have enough of a horror show in this world that y'all gotta be doing more of it in the lab? Stop. Somebody get these scientists. Golly. Creepy. Why? What, I don't know why the Metro British publication is envisioning what a murder would look like in space, but they are. Apparently, in Britain, they paid for someone to study space murder. Ooh, that almost sounds like a great Kane, a futuristic punk rock band with thrash metal inspiration. Space murder. They said it's CSI in space. I wouldn't watch that show. I don't think I would. It'd be kind of annoying. They said that it revealed how forensic science would apply in space by simulating blood splatters and micro... Somebody's a little too excited about the blood splatters. What? Two headlines in a row about weirdo scientists. They were studying the way blood explodes out when you murk someone in zero gravity.
We need to solve all those space murders.
Yes, a lot of space. I mean, are they going to go up there and be murking some aliens? Or I don't know. Like, how's this going to happen? So they try to get the viscosity of human blood. And basically, they had a Jackson Pollock moment in a zero gravity environment. And they were looking at what happened to blood. Okay, there you go. Yeah. Also, let's see, the number of California millionaires has grown, new data shows, despite exodus fears. Do you know why it's grown? Because all the poor people left. So all the people that are left there are the rich people that can afford the virtue signaling indulgence of higher taxes. Dur, dur, dur. A man was arrested in a now closed Michigan prison. Now, I've heard of prison breakouts, but I've never heard of someone breaking in the prison. But that's exactly what happened. In Standish, Michigan. Inmates trying to break out, that happens, but trying to get into a former maximum security facility, well, that took place. The guy ended up getting arrested, 42-year-old Cody Bellamy. So they caught him trying to get in the pokey. Okay. A 12-year-old was found spending the night alone inside of an Ohio Target store. They said Columbus police found the boy at 6:15 a.m. and that he was unaccompanied. He was there all night. And he was a runaway. I mean, there's worse places to be. So we have more in store. Stick with us. It's such a nice name, Field of Greens. That's a good journey as well. Right now, if you're unfamiliar with how to take it, you take one serving, one scoop. It's and you mix it with 8 ounces of water or maybe milk or a non-dairy beverage. A healthy liquid. Let's just leave it at that, right? You get the idea. But what this is it's not like a supplement. It's nutrition the way nature intended. It's 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables. It's real organic superfood, and it works fast. Antioxidants, fiber, prebiotics, all formulated by a team of physicians. And one scoop, like I said, in a healthy liquid, and you're going to see results. You're going to see results with digestion. You're going to see healthier looking skin, hair, the whole nine yards. And people notice this difference because you're getting all this stuff. You're not going to eat all these vegetables and everything else in one day. So why not just, you know, shoot it. Just do a drink of it. 8 ounces. That's all it takes. 15% off your first order, and you can get free rush shipping. Use promo code Dana. So to start, Field of Greens, like I said, they want to give you 50% off your first order and that free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at fieldofgreens.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Congressman, we're doing a number of things to ensure that we're keeping track of the situation and we're prepared. At the moment, we have not yet seen large numbers, what we would characterize as a maritime mass migration. But
you
are alert to that
mass migration, though.
We are alert to that possibility. I think you're right that the driving conditions in Haiti could very well press more people. So we've recently approved some additional assistance that we can provide to the Coast Guard. I think that has now fully been approved. We'll be providing notifications if we haven't already provide additional shipboard assistance.
Because I've talked.
So this was this audio. This actually came, I think, a little late yesterday. It was Department of Defense officials who said they were alerted about a potential maritime mass migration from Haiti into the United States. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this first hour, Dana Lash here with you. And this is, I was going to talk about this in our second hour, but I kicked it up because of some new information. So that is true. There's been a lot of discussion about that, and now just came out literally. This is maybe 30 minutes ago. DeSantis is now deploying additional personnel assets to southern Florida and the Keys to stop the potential influx of illegal immigration from Haiti. And they said that they've been already for some time dedicating significant resources to combat these illegal vessels coming to Florida from countries like Haiti. So they have the Division of Emergency Management, the Florida State Guard, state law enforcement agencies, over 250 additional officers, soldiers, and a dozen air and sea craft to the southern coast of Florida. They said, we cannot have this happening. And he's right, because they, and they've also added to Florida Fish and Wildlife as well there in southern Florida. So they're doing that. They have a whole other deployment from Florida State Guard to the Keys alone to assist, because apparently they're worried about these vessels coming up on some of these islands in the Keys and kind of overwhelming the area. Because one of the reports that I have, and this is from a British publication, I mean, some of the vessels you could have like anywhere from 200 something to 300 people on. And this is, you know, we talked about this on Monday when I told everyone spring break, we went to Turks and Caicos, and they have been since, and it's gotten worse since 2019. They have been spending a good chunk of their GDP repatriating and repelling Haitian illegal immigrants that are coming over on these sloops. They said no, there's no fewer than 40 or 50 of them on a boat at a time. And it's a daily thing now. And that their military used to, they would get a call out and they would respond, not really so much their military, because as a Commonwealth nation, they fall under British protection, but their own state security agency would respond. And they used to do that. They said maybe like once or twice a month. Now it's every single day, multiple times a day. And their crime rate, their violent crime rate has skyrocketed. And this is not just happening to Turks and Caicos. I was reading last night that a number of other nations have been dealing with this in the Caribbean as well. And you're talking about these islands that, you know, they're more tourism focused and they want to make sure things are kept safe. This could potentially rock their entire economy, especially if you have people who are, you know, going for summer vacation, spring break. No one sits here and goes, they want to go to Haiti. No, they go to Puerto Rico, they go to Dominican Republic, they go to Bahamas, they go to Turks and Caicos, they, you know, go to St. Thomas, they go to all these beautiful islands that are all now under threat of getting completely run over, locust style, by people coming from Haiti. And you don't even know, there's no way to guarantee who's coming. You don't know if some of it's like some of the Haitian gangs looking to get us, you know, get a stakehold in one of these countries that they're going to. And Florida, they're trying to get ahead of this. So they got wind that this was something that was going around yesterday. They got wind that it's coming. And so it's getting worse and worse and worse over there. The Pentagon also, I said yesterday that they had evacuated the embassy over there. Now the Pentagon sends anti-terrorism Marines to beef up security at the U.S. embassy, because the company, they say it's on the brink of civil war, but for all intents and purposes, they're in civil war. So they sent more. So they're already boots on the ground there to help evacuate the embassy. I guess they learned their lesson maybe from Afghanistan. So they were sent to Haiti to beef up security. This was 24 hours after their prime minister fled, actually 48 after he fled the country, 24 after he resigned. They have the Elite Fleet Anti-Terrorism Security Team, FAST. They were dispatched. The guy who's basically in charge of Haiti right now, Jimmy Cherizier, they call him Barbecue, he called for a, quote, bloody revolution. And so the EU said they were sending humanitarian aid that's about $21 million to Haiti. That's all there. That's what Turks and Caicos spends. Oh, actually, not even. They spend over that annually to repel illegal Haitian immigration. The EU could probably do more. Britain could probably do a little bit more. That was something that I heard from. How many of these nations down there fall under the Commonwealth? You know, we know Puerto Rico and United States, but how many, like, you know, what, like Turks and Caicos, for instance, some of these other, you know, Commonwealth nations. What is Britain doing about this? Watch this area, because we already know at the southern border, there have been a ton of Haitian illegal immigrants at the southern border. Now they're just going straight for Florida. But they said that the organization of crime, one of the reasons that these gangs have been able to very easily take controls, they already had a gang element and a criminal network in Haiti for quite some time already. And they were able to just maximize it. And they've been spreading it to other nations, trying to get toeholds there as well and expand their operations. The embassy technically in Haiti is still open, but they've had gangs and open firefights. The cops and soldiers are trying to, you know, in Haiti are trying to do as much as they can. But the gangs tried to seize the airport. They've been targeting government sites. It's been tough. They've had Corey Mills. He was there at the Have Faith Orphanage at Port-au-Prince. He's been heavily critical of the president. He said that it's a clear pattern of abandonment. And he says that he thinks that the group was left behind by Biden and the State Department because they were requesting their help in country. So we'll see. They said U.S. Southern Command is prepared with a wide range of contingency plans to ensure the safety and security of U.S. citizens in Haiti. But the other thing, too, that I see is some media are trying to rehabilitate Barbecue, the gang. That's what we're calling, you know, Prime Minister Barbecue over there. And they're like, oh, he's a former police officer, as though there are never any bad cops. Right. But he actually went out and said, yes, the violence is all mine. I want a bloody revolution. He's already gone out and claimed it. And they believe that Haiti, a little over 80% of it is entirely, well, they said that the capital is now it's in gang control. Port-au-Prince is totally controlled by the gangs now. And they think 200 gangs operate around Haiti. And it's mostly in Port-au-Prince, mostly in the main city. So there they go. The prime minister, Juan, he went to Puerto Rico. Oh, and he recorded a statement. So, man, you see what all these other nations now are having to deal with and absorb. So that Barbecue dude is the most powerful dude in Haiti. And in the meantime, they have Florida's getting ready for the influx. And so this guy, the prime minister, he was redirected to Puerto Rico. He's been there ever since the weekend. The Dominican Republic wouldn't have him. And now the Kenya, what is it? I read this morning that Kenyan police were on hold. So apparently I guess they were going to rely on some of them to kind of push back against the gangs initially. So we'll keep an eye on this. It's a weird, the way that this happened. It's just odd. The whole thing is weird. All right, a couple of other things to get into. Law and order. Speaking of law and order, all Taco Bell locations in Oakland have announced the indefinite closure of all of their dining rooms due to a series of robberies and a crime surge. They're switching to cashless drive-through only. That is how bad it is in Oakland. Cashless drive-through only. They said all the Taco Bell restaurants, they said that it's a new reality for customers. They can't go in and sit down and they have to go get drive-through. And they said it's a safety and business decision. That's what they said. It's a safety and business decision. So that's because they can't deal with the crime anymore. They can't deal with it. So that's kind of wild. The fact that Taco Bell, you can't even have a fast food. First of all, who robs a Taco Bell? The fact that you can't even have a Taco Bell be open in Oakland. I mean, that tells you everything that you need to know about Gavin Newsom and the state of, I mean, California is the ultimate culmination of every Democrat policy. If you want to know what the end game is, look at California. In Oakland, 6 months, their crime has skyrocketed just like in the past year. But they said they had a Denny's, which was an iconic Denny's, that closed after 54 years in the same location. And they said it was crime and the safety and well-being of their employees and customers. They closed an In-N-Out in Oakland. They closed an In-N-Out. They even had the NAACP. Let me pull this story up. This was over at Red State back in July of last year. Oakland NAACP absolutely rips into woke DA defund police activists in a call to action on crime. Because they said that Oakland has a public safety crisis. So they actually were at odds, NAACP, with BLM in Oakland and all of these far left activists in Oakland. They said, quote, Oakland residents are sick and tired of the intolerable public safety crisis that overwhelmingly impacts minority communities, murders and shootings and violent armed robberies, home invasions, car break-ins, sideshows, highway shootouts. That's a pervasive fixture of life in Oakland. Wow. Now, the restaurants at Taco Bell has closed. They're closing just the dining rooms only. but it is all cashless drive through. And they did confirm we had to, because they had to hire, even by doing that, they still had to hire extra security guards because it's that dangerous. So this is what happens, though, when you have soft on crime, restorative justice. This is what you get with it. Now, we have more Law and Order on the way, including coming up, and I know later on this week we have Missouri AG Andrew Bailey on about this. We're going to talk about this story that came out of, we mentioned it before, I think we mentioned it Monday, of this girl who was nearly murdered by another teenage girl in St. Louis, our hometown, and it was at East Hazelwood. And it was outside of the school. We talked a little bit about this. And she, I mean, I don't know how she wasn't killed. She's still alive. But she was attacked so viciously. And the other teenage girl took her head and repeatedly bashed it as hard as she could into the concrete, trying to kill her. She was trying to murder her. I don't know what. Well, you look at that video and you tell me that your mind thinks anything else. And the police are investigating all of this stuff. But it was a 15-year-old girl. The victim's fighting for her life. She's still in critical condition. And you can even see in the video, after another teenage girl, thankfully, shoves the attacker off the victim's laying on the ground and she's seizing. She's convulsing. She's twitching. It is terrifying to watch. And Andrew Bailey is now involved. He's done with this. He's done with this stuff. So we're going to talk to him later in the week, and we're going to talk more about this story coming up, along with a number of other things we've been following as we move. Our partners that help bring you free radio, Gold Co. Precious Metals. They make it really easy to navigate that very confusing field of, you know, the gold IRA field. And they want to make sure that, you know, you can work with a precious metals company you trust. And that's where Gold Co. steps in. They have an education first stance. So they are information packet. They have a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers that explains the economy and how gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. And they have unmatched customer service, zero complaint record. And they want to make sure that you understand how precious metals ownership is an important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. There's a no-pressure approach. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee and learn how to get possibly $10,000 in bonus silver. So get that free 2024 gold kit today. Protect your family's financial future and freedom. Get started at danalikesgold.com. Get that free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's danalikesgold.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Do you know how this fire started?
Yes, I do. It was because of my cousin. And I don't want to mention no names.
Your cousin?
Yes.
And you say you think your cousin started this. Do you know how or why?
He's mad because he can't get with me. I'm married to my husband.
Oh my,
and
what?
It's a long story. Just make it short. Yeah, he already put him in a hospital once last month. And he figured he's going to do something else to get back.
All right, so right now, the fire has...
This guy, I love it. This is like when my friend Lawrence Jones was interviewing people for spring break. And he was asking this girl what she needed. And she was like, I need some bronzer and cocaine. And God love him. Poor little Lawrence. He was like one of the purest people you will ever meet in your life. I mean, that man really is. I never even heard him say a naughty word. And he stood there looking at her like he needed to call his pastor because what he just heard. I was dying laughing at that. Dying. Oh, my gosh. Because Lawrence is like an old school Southern gent, right? And he just doesn't know how to deal with those ladies. He just does not know. But that was, and like this chick, that reporter talking to her, you could almost see his brain short circuit. He's like, what did I just hear? And you heard it here. He goes, your cousin? She's like, yeah, my cousin. Oh my gosh. What? Oh my gosh.
That's not like breaking news or anything. That video has been circulating for a little bit, but it was just fun to, you know,
I think it's the epitaph for our society. Yeah. We're supposed to have a solar eclipse. When's the solar eclipse?
These days of the United States, April 8th.
April 8th. And maybe, I don't know, maybe the world will end. I'm just saying, you know, don't get sad about it. We've had a good run. Now it's just a mess. You know, it is what it is. No, for real. But there's going to be a solar eclipse. And I am still shocked. So I was reading about this right before I went to bed last night. And this is where I get all my stupid questions from, because I'm the person right before I go to sleep. And I'm like, I'll ask my husband, like, you know, what if I had three legs? How fast could I run? I ask him like questions like that. Like, how much would an additional leg speed me up? I ask him things like this. And he looks at me like I've sprouted another head into my neck. So I was reading about the solar eclipse and how this Texas, like, isn't it a Texas town that had declared some kind of like emergency because they have so many people coming through? It's the Hillsboro, and I think this is in Texas, and they call it totality eclipse, is I guess what it is. I don't know this stuff, but anyway, they said that it's on April 8th, and the Hillsboro is the seventh best place in the country to view it by Astronomy Magazine. They're expecting 60,000 people. Now here's what fascinates me. There are 60,000 people that are going to like go on a trip to go and watch an eclipse.
From a plane even. There are people booking flights. They're booking flights so they can be in the air at the time this eclipse is happening. And their flight path is right in the path of the eclipse.
Who the hell are these people?
I don't know.
That sounds incredibly inconvenient. I don't like to be inconvenienced on my downtime, right? Are you like that with me? Like I am. Yeah. Allergic to it.
Right.
That sounds like you're willingly going through an airport. How long does the eclipse happen? How long does it last? Like a few minutes? I don't know.
I can't imagine much more than a few minutes.
I don't know what I think of that. Those are some very odd folks. Odd folks. I'm just saying. I'm going to inconvenience myself to watch the sun get covered up for a little bit. I mean, if that's your jam, you know, it takes all kinds. We got another hour on the way. A lot of stuff to cover, including the latest. The TikTokers are sad, guys. Stay with us. Have you seen any of those viral videos, the ones that show aisles stacked with emergency food supplies in stores? It kind of makes you wonder, like, what do they know that you don't? Well, you already know how I feel about being prepared myself. So why bother with the hassle of stores, which you know just mark up all their prices, when you can order directly and save? With Wise Food Storage, you're guaranteed access to delicious, high-quality food exactly when you need it the most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com and enter code Dana in the search bar to unlock exclusive deals just for you, like their current offer, the buy one, get one free on their 72-hour survival food kit. Not only that, but Wise Food Storage offers fast and free shipping on most orders. With their remarkable 25-year shelf life, these provisions will be ready for you whenever the need should arise. So instead of endlessly doom-scrolling through all the videos, wondering what catastrophe could be next, take action and secure your food supply today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals. That's wisefoodstorage.com and use code Dana.
And the president has said that he would sign into law the bill that could have TikTok banned. If the president is so concerned about the national security risks around TikTok, why is he posting on the platform?
So I'll say this. Jake Sullivan, our national security advisor, just spoke to the more broadly why this bill is important, why we welcome this bill. Obviously, it's going to the process. And we're offering technical support. So I'll just leave that piece there. As it relates to the campaign, I would have to, and their strategy as it relates to TikTok, I'm just going to leave it to them.
Well, the TikTokers are very sad. They're very upset. That was Karine Jean-Pierre talking about the TikTok bill, which passed the House and is now making its way to the Senate, where it's a little less certain what's going to happen there, because you have a number of Democrats who actually oppose. They are in support, actually, of the divestment between ByteDance and TikTok, because ByteDance is the parent company. Welcome back to the program. Top of this second hour here on Wednesday. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can find us Channel 347 DirecTV as well, the simulcast, the video component of the radio program. The TikTokers are quite upset. I think it's interesting if the Chinese government, how many billions do they have wrapped up in TikTok, Kane?
Oh, man.
Would you think?
I wouldn't even know. I would say it's at least 40.
Because it's one of the, not every social media platform is in every country, but TikTok is.
Right.
So, like, Facebook isn't in China because Mark Zuckerberg always refused, to his credit, had always refused to play that game. Like, I think parts of like X, all this other stuff. So they're not, TikTok is like the one that is actually everywhere. So that way bigger, more billions, I think. I think here's the stunning thing. I am with great interest watching what China does. If the Senate does, let's just say that the Senate passes this bill, the House bill on demanding for TikTok to stay available in the United States. What's China's reaction going to be to that? Because if they divest, if they sold it, I can't imagine how they wouldn't lose money. I'm just trying to think of who could buy it. Who could afford the price tag for it? That's number one. So wouldn't it be, number two, wouldn't that be kind of a fire sale for them? Yeah. So then that brings me to my third point here. If they end up doing the fire sale or not, if they end up divesting and they sell it, clearly they want to control it. And if it looks like money is no object to them to still have influence with it, isn't that significant? I mean, doesn't that kind of tell you everything that you would maybe need to know about their motivations for this?
Yeah. I mean, it looks like only the government could afford it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So
we're going from China harvesting our data to just the U.S. government harvesting our data?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that.
And I know that there's been, like I said, I know that there's been like a lot of debate on how much information TikTok is actually sharing and sending back to ByteDance and, you know, all of this stuff, like what they're sending in and what ByteDance is receiving and what information is it and how is it like tracking our, you know, what all, I get it that there's a lot of debate over that. But again, you know, espionage isn't under the First Amendment. Illicit conduct isn't covered by the First Amendment. But I also understand the First Amendment implications of it. And I'm also very wary of giving government a thumbs up, thumbs down. Because when you give government control of something, I just feel like you as humanity, as a citizen of that nation, are waving a white flag of surrender at self-governing. The more control that you give the government, you are saying that you are not responsible to govern yourself. That you as a people are incapable of governing yourselves, that you are incapable of making smart decisions. This is, by the way, why I hate the idea of term limits. And I disagree. This is one thing I disagree with Ron DeSantis on, is term limits. I think that term limits are the responsibility of the voter. I think the more power we give to the government, that we are waving the white flag of surrender, saying we are ungovernable, we can't govern ourselves. We are too stupid to determine how long someone should be in office. We're shortchanging ourselves as citizens. So that's one thing I always come back to. I try to run everything through that lens. However, at the same time, I also understand that if you are engaging in what is essentially espionage, that's not a First Amendment issue. Tracking people's data and learning American behavior so that you can foist upon them some psychological warfare, well, that's not really First Amendment stuff. I actually understand both sides of this argument. I am inclined to actually more or less, I just wish that the bill wasn't so vague. I wish it wasn't, because there's some vagary there that I think we all have an issue with. And that's kind of my main problem, one of my big problems with it. But I feel like, you know, this comes down to our ability to manage digital communication, really. That's it. I don't think, but on the opposite end of that, I also don't like the idea of giving power or encouraging a nation that is classified as a foreign adversary. And again, when I spoke with Brendan Carr of the FCC yesterday, he was saying that here are the four. You got China, you have Iran, you have Russia, you have North Korea. These are the four that we define as foreign adversaries. So that is how it's defined in the context of this bill. I also don't like giving power to a foreign adversary to determine what it is that we as Americans see, what we see. We talk about all the time the algorithms of Facebook and X and all this other stuff controlling what we see. That's the same argument with TikTok. But with TikTok, it's not American leftists. It's communists in Beijing that are determining what you see, what information you're consuming. So the TikTok, have you seen some of the protesters out there, Kane? We were talking about this on break. How much money do you think people make on TikTok? Or how much, I mean, what's like a more successful TikTok salary, you think? I can't even believe I said that phrase.
To be honest with you, I wouldn't even know as far as the numbers, but I do know that people live streaming can make money. I know that people with content on TikTok can make money. You know, in my opinion, they were smart to monetize it because now people get so locked in. Now it becomes more than just a something they're scrolling through for entertainment, and it becomes an income source, and it becomes really important to people. And I think that's why they chose now to have this fight.
I hate the idea because I keep seeing these articles where, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm pulling up one right now. I have a million windows open. The TikTok stars, Kane. The stars of TikTok. They're all out. They're protesting. It is kind of difficult. Like I said, when you have the current president and our former president, both of different parties, who actually both like TikTok. It is true. I discussed with you yesterday. It's true. Don't get mad at me. That's just the way it is. Now, Trump, I liked Trump's original position where he was hostile towards CCP owned by Dance owned TikTok. But now he had said, I'm not a fan of Facebook. And he was trying to compare TikTok to Facebook. And again, I have more reason than many to loathe Meta and the algorithms. That and YouTube, they have hurt me professionally, the thwarting, and it really kicked up after Parkland. So I have more reason than most. But they didn't bend a knee to China. That's why Facebook isn't in China. That's why Meta can't do business there. They were very Tarantino about it. You know the story with Quentin Tarantino, right? Once upon a time in Hollywood, in order to gain access to all of China's very coveted movie screens, which are a multitude of them and growing every year, you have to go through their censorship board, and it has to be pro-China. Can't be any criticism. And they were mad over the way that Bruce Lee was portrayed in Once Upon a Time with that Tarantino had directed Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And they had asked him to change it, and he told them to go pound sand so they didn't get a Chinese opening. It's kind of how Facebook was. Not kind of. That's how they were, too. They said, go pound sand. We're not doing that. So I give them credit. I am not going to sit here and champion a CCP entity over an American-owned entity. I'm not going to do it. Just my American DNA prevents me. So I understand because they say, well, Meta suppresses, you know, pro-Trump content on Facebook and Instagram, but it does very well on TikTok. There was an operative who had said that. And I'm like, okay, you need to question why. Don't take the bait. There's a reason why you are being baited. I don't know. Maybe you have to be cynical or be in this to watch this for a number of years before you can see it. You're being baited, though. The answer isn't to empower the CCP more. There isn't. It's not to empower them more. So I just, I don't know. Like, I know that there's some relations with funders and backers and fundraisers and bundlers. And, you know, you have Vivek Ramaswamy, who once said it was digital fentanyl, but then he's on TikTok and extolling the virtues of TikTok. To me, if it's a conflict with Biden, then it's a conflict with Trump. Right? That doesn't make you less of a fan of Trump to acknowledge this. Be a bigger fan of yourself before before anybody else, including politicians. Be your own biggest fan before you put the interest and fandom of a politician or another entity before yourself. Well, actually, be a fan of Jesus, then be a fan of yourself. In that order. So I don't know what's going to happen in the Senate because they're not split along party lines. It's like Democrat versus Democrat, Republican versus Republican, and there are Democrats and Republicans that line up on the side of this. But I got to say, the TikTok folks, it's kind of funny that they're very upset. This is our livelihood. I'm just like, what would you have to do to get it? You'd have to get a job. You have to get a J-O-B. Rand Paul made this point. He said, people who want to ban TikTok claim the data can't be secured because of the algorithm is in China. He says it's not true. The algorithm runs in the U.S. and Oracle Cloud with their review of code, not in China. He says it's 60% of the company is owned by U.S. and international investors. 20% is owned by the company founders. However, in 2021, the CCP purchased the golden share stake in ByteDance. So they outvote all other shareholders. So that's not actually accurate. And I love Senator Paul, but that wasn't actually accurate. They are controlled. Let's be entirely fact-based about this stuff. When you have the golden share, you can outvote all the other shareholders. And that's the CCP's ownership of ByteDance, effective 2021. So that is incorrect, what he said. We have a lot more to hit on, including some cultural stuff. I've got an update. Now you have Missouri's Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who is weighing in on that brutal video of that 15-year-old girl getting beaten to almost death outside of her school. We're going to talk about that and more. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. This is a veteran-owned coffee company, and they make the best coffee out there. And veteran-owned, veteran-operated, and they employ active duty and retired veterans. I have Black Rifle Coffee every morning. It's delicious coffee. The Tactisquatch is my jam right now. And it's just good coffee. I think a lot of people have a problem with successful veteran businesses. And they're usually on the left, and they try to psyop the right about it. Because Black Rifle Coffee poses such a threat to Starbucks and all these other, you know, bad companies out there that don't make as good a coffee. So be aware of that. A lot of people are being baited into being these like leftist tools for them to go after veteran-owned companies because unfortunately, not a lot of people like veterans anymore, apparently. But Black Rifle Coffee Company, the best coffee that is out there. I proudly drink it every damn day. And it's delivered right to your door. No shipping fees. When you join the coffee club, pick your roast. Pick how often you want it delivered, whether you want the AK-47, the Tactisquatch, the Silencer Smooth, Thin Blue Line, that's the medium roast that supports law enforcement, the Freedom Fuel Dark Roast. Set your delivery schedule and you are done. You're going to save money on coffee while never running out. It's delivered right to your door free from shipping fees. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join that Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first month using code Dana. Save money on high quality coffee, actually roasted, not just claimed, but actually roasted right here in America. It's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, I realized, you know what I did? That I read our this hour's headlines last hour. So now we're going back to last hour. Okay. So apparently, this is The Guardian. The American dream of owning a home is dead, according to a majority of renters. They were surveyed by Harris. It's a Harris survey who said that the areas that they live in have become so unaffordable that they're barely livable. It's the Harris Poll Thought Leadership and Future Practice. I'm curious as to where, I haven't looked at the crosstabs for this, but I'm curious as to where they were looking at this, because, you know, there's a reason that starter home is a phrase and why you don't always get in your chosen neighborhood. That has been true just as much now as it was 20 years ago. But they said that most people, it is true, it is very difficult anymore to be able to purchase a home. And it's been made even more unaffordable by this administration. Ireland surprisingly stopped this leftist assault on women. Ireland rejected, this is according to the New York Times, they rejected a constitutional change. There were two proposed amendments, and they were going to reflect the more secular liberal values of the nation's modern era. And they were going to remove language about literally the word women and about the definition of family beyond marriage and a woman's chosen role if she should lean that way towards the home, all of that. And they actually rejected it. They rejected it by a wide margin. It was an unexpected defeat for quote-unquote equality campaigners. So good for that. I'm happy that Irish citizens went to the polls on International Women's Day, no less, to protect women. They weren't going to allow women to be erased from their constitution, so good on them. Also, let's see, a couple of things. Oh, this was interesting. I was right, because ladies, we're all going to have to go through it someday. apparently taking two popular supplements after the menopause could raise women's risk of heart attack, according to a 20-year study.
It's not the vax, though.
Yeah, it's not the vax, guys or ladies. But you know what the what they said the supplements were? Calcium and vitamin D. What? They said a 20-year study.
There is a calcification situation, but we'll have to. We don't have time to talk about it right now. But
look at him; he's already formulating a book in his head. It's just, I'm telling you, it is. I thought that was kind of weird. And switching to EVs could actually spare 60,000 children from birth defects and autism in just 12 states alone, according to a new study. We'll touch on that later when we bash EVs again. Stick with us as we move our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the nation. They don't have any kind of ByteDance or any of that ownership involved with them. And the important thing to remember about Patriot Mobile, like I said, over 10 years now, this is the service I actually use. Like, my whole family uses Patriot Mobile, and I have great coverage. I mean, they have great customer service and great coverage. In fact, dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service in your area, but most importantly, you're not funding the left. A lot of these big cell phone companies, they do that. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're putting momentum behind the issues that you support, and you're protecting those even further than just at the ballot box. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is yours. And they have 100% U.S.-based crew. They make switching easy. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make that switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, the United States is announcing an emergency package for Ukraine using cost savings from previously approved Pentagon contracts. The package includes munitions and rounds to help Ukraine hold the line against Russia's brutal attacks for the next couple of weeks, which I have the authority to do without asking Congress for some more money right now. But I've asked them for a lot more money. And but it's not nearly enough what I'm announcing today.
Are they going to drop them on people like they did in Gaza? God is my witness, I thought those turkeys could fly. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of the second hour, Dana Lash with you. That was the president announcing more monies going to Ukraine. More monies.
Well, it's equipment because he can't get the money yet.
Yeah, but he's sending more stuff over there. Who owns that? That's my stuff.
It's our stuff.
I mean, I don't even know what stuff I have. I just wish that I was as well armed as the Ukrainian military that we were sending all our stuff to, right? I just want what they left for the Taliban. That's all I'm saying, right? I just want what I have coming to me. I just want what's mine. If you follow Peanuts and I don't know, right? Anyway, deep dive. So they did announce money, though. Listen to this audio. Somebody too. This is Jake Sullivan, National Security. Listen.
So today, on behalf of President Biden, I'm announcing an emergency package of security assistance of $300 million worth of weapons and equipment to address some of Ukraine's pressing needs.
You know, it's
this is possible because of unanticipated cost savings in contracts that DOD negotiated to replace equipment we've already sent to Ukraine through previous drawdowns.
So it's money. I mean, it's, you know, regardless, we could send some of the stuff to Taiwan, but we don't. Or Taiwan wants to buy it.
You know, weapons are fungible, too.
Yeah, they are. All of that. It's money. Everything's money. You know, all of that's money. Like I tell my kids, you know, whenever you're making a purchase, you have to determine whether or not the dollar is the amount of your life. Your money is a measure of your life. If you want to spend that much of the life that you spent making that money on this item, you have to determine if you spending your life on that item, that much of your life is worth it. It really changes the perspective of buying things when you talk about it like that. And it also further enrages you when you consider just how much inflation is hurting everybody. But I am curious, are they just gonna just drop stuff on people? I'm wondering. So all that money, and then of course we have the pier that they're dock pier
port.
It's a pier for Gaza that they're constructing. And I am made of questions about this still. Like, for instance, I don't understand why we don't just scooch it on down a little bit. Scooch it on down and at least enjoy, if we have to do it, be in Egyptian waters and then go through, put it up on land, then just go down the little road and make a left at Rafah. Why don't we do that? I mean, these are hostile forces, the enemy of our ally. You're going to have rockets, you got snipers, it's total destroyed urban warfare. What happens if, you know, the Marines setting all this up, what happens if they take fire? What happens if they fire on them? It's Hamas. What happens? They have American hostages. You think that they won't? I mean, what happens then? I mean, this is such a stupid idea. Of course, this is from the administration that was like, yeah, let's close Bagram and move our staging area to the Hamid Karzai International Airport there in the safe center of Kabul, which is entirely run by the Taliban that we saw coming 2 months ago when they were telling everyone that they were coming on WhatsApp. Because they did. That administration. But seriously, what happens if, how far, do we know how far away offshore they're putting this pier? No. The reason I ask this is because what happens if people overwhelm the area? If it's close enough to shore, which I don't know if it is, that's why I'm asking. It seems dumb that it, but what, if you have boats coming, what happens if things just go sideways? None of that makes sense. It's just one of the goofiest things I've ever seen. And but we're committed to it, I guess, so I don't know. Speaking of Gaza, you had the queen, the Jordanian queen, Queen Rania of Jordan. And she was saying that she was mad at Israel for defending itself. And I wanted to play this soundbite because I found this to be absolutely asinine. We had this from yesterday that we held over. And she was saying that this was about Israel and how much what people in Gaza have experienced is so much worse. It's so much worse. We had this. Do we have this? It was from the audio soundbite from yesterday. And this was, we should have it because I really would hate to skip over it. We were supposed to carry this over from yesterday. But she was talking to CNN's Christiane Amanpour, and her response was that, well, Israel has experienced only one October 7th. Palestinians have experienced 158 October 7ths. And I'm thinking, whoa, 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 whoa. First off, no. And secondly, no Israelis have been sticking grenades in Gazan women's vaginas. Listen to this.
You know, I would say that as devastating and as traumatic as October 7th was, it doesn't give Israel license to commit atrocity after atrocity. And Israel experienced one October 7th. Since then, the Palestinians have experienced 156 October 7th.
No, they haven't. That's not true. And you know what? They shouldn't have voted for Hamas. And they shouldn't keep electing Hamas. And you shouldn't have to suspend elections recently because Hamas was so popular, they almost assumed control in the West Bank as well as Gaza. That's the problem. No, you had a ceasefire on October 6th. And I really do question, I know that people are trying to keep the separation, and I don't subscribe to the idea that there are no innocents there. However, you voted for Hamas. There were citizens that took part in the terroristic the atrocities against Israelis. There were videos, mass amounts of civilians spitting and kicking on the barely living bodies of Israelis that had been kidnapped and brought back into Gaza. Hostage after hostage who had finally been freed, although more still remain in captivity, talk about how they were kept in civilian homes with civilians. So stop. Let's not pretend that everyone's stupid. And I just found Rania's remark to be absolutely racist and ignorant. And it betrays a deep bigotry on her part. I don't recall Israelis, like I said, putting grenades into the vaginas of Gazan women. I don't recall Israelis cutting the breasts off of Gazan women while they gang rape them in front of their children. I don't recall Israelis putting babies of Gazan women in the ovens and cooking them to death. So you can't be both the aggressor and the victim. The idea that a country doesn't have the right to defend itself is asinine. That's why everyone just needs to get out of their way. I hope every single dog that is a member of Hamas is burned to ash. And I hope that anyone that had been in any way culpable or even sympathetic to their plight is terrified, so terrified that they never ever commit another atrocity like that. And that lesson reverberates throughout the generations. Sometimes brutality should be answered with brutality. That is the cost of war. It's why war is horrible. And it's why your backed Hamas should not have entered into it so lightly. They FA'd, now they're FO'ing. While Jordan looked the other way. If Jordan feels so strongly about it, why don't they take all of these refugees in? You can sit there and do your little interview by all the boxes of aid and everything else, but that's weird. I don't see any refugees there with you. Are they welcomed into the palace? All those quote unquote Palestinian, if we're going to use the name of an area that has literally never existed at all in antiquity and was actually a spiteful name given by Hadrian to a conquered people named after the Philistines who were from Crete and were seafaring, but I digress. Where are the refugees? Are they in the palace? Is that why we don't see them there with all the aid that is supposedly going over that Hamas is going to take again like they took the last time and the time before that? Terrorists thrive on the indulgence of this concern theater. Because if all of these people were so concerned, they would have bent over backwards to make sure that Hamas honored the ceasefire that was in place on October 6th. And the one that was in place before they broke it the last time. And the one that was in place before they broke it the last time before that. And the one that was in place before they broke it the last time before that. So spare us. Now, moving on. This story that came out of my home state of Missouri and my hometown of St. Louis, East Hazelwood. The video is horrific. A 15-year-old girl. She wasn't attacked just by another teen. And I feel like this is more media malpractice to describe it this way. She wasn't just attacked by another teenager. She was attacked by a group of teenagers, but there was one main aggressor who wouldn't let up. And it was the girl who grabbed this 15-year-old, her head, her name is Kaylee, slammed it against the asphalt ground repeatedly. She was in full mount, grabbed her head, bashed it onto the ground. She was trying to kill her. You don't watch that. You can't watch that video and walk away thinking anything but that teenager was trying to kill that girl. I think it's attempted murder. I think she should be arrested and charged for attempted murder, not just assault. And if this 15-year-old victim dies because she hasn't woken up, in the video, when thankfully another teenage girl knocks her out of the way, and I want to make a quick note, I actually don't look at this unless the motive comes up that it is racial. I don't look at this as a racial thing. It was a black teen fighting a white teen. The victim's white. But it was a black teenager that knocked a black teen off the white girl in the first place. The reason I say this is because I've watched six videos in 3 days that are all recent of a multitude of white kids and black kids attacking older people or other people. This is a youth problem. Kids aren't getting their ass beat enough, if you ask me. So this victim is fighting for her life. She hasn't woken up. She's in critical condition. She has brain swelling, brain bleeding, frontal lobe damage, skull fracture. She is seen in the video when the one teen saves her. She's on the ground still and she's contorted and she starts convulsing and twitching and she's never going to be the same if she survives. If. The family has already started, they've started a GoFundMe. They have actually a modest $40,000 goal. Her hospital bill probably exceeds that already. Because they said that apparently they've been told that even if she does survive, she's going to require help for the rest of her life. Andrew Bailey, the attorney general of Missouri, called out the 15-year-old girl. He wanted her to be tried as an adult. He said, quote, "This evil and complete disregard for human life has no place in Missouri or anywhere. I am praying for the victim." He says the criminal should be charged and tried as an adult, and if the victim dies, that offense should rise to a homicide. I think it should even be more than just a homicide charge. I think it's premeditated murder, because this girl, which I know that when you file these charges and when you're a prosecutor, you want to go for the one that you're sure you're going to get a conviction on. I think murder will be tough for to convince a jury of a 15-year-old, because they're going to, this again, the indulgence, criminals thrive on this indulgence. But she's 15 and you got to be realistic. That's going to sway whatever jury makeup is there. So homicide's probably it, although I think it should be murder. If this girl died, I think the reason I say it's premeditated, because she was apparently, according to the family that called the school to warn them, this girl was threatening to get at this girl all day. She was planning on it. That's premeditation. In my opinion, the Kel-Tec sub 2K. It reads as sub 2000. I've literally had people say, well, I type sub 2K and I went, sub 2000. This is the Gen 3 version, 9mm carbine. And it's gun origami. Now, previously, I have the older version, so I have to take my optic off to fold it in half. But the thing folds in half, and it's cool. Gen 3, you don't have to remove your favorite optic to fold it in half. I mean, it's a simple twist and fold of the patent-pending rotating forend in either direction. It folds it straight up in half and just as quickly and easily deploys it, optics and all. And there's other upgrades that they have as well. The upgraded aluminum trigger. Redesigned mechanics, lightened 5-pound pull, more precise feedback, the upgraded action. You got a redesigned operating handle, ambidextrous bolt hold open, lightened action for easy racking, new chamber indicator as well, and made right here in the U.S. of A. Family-owned company based in Florida, family-owned values at their best. To learn more about the Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Guys, isn't this a Happy Gilmore plot?
Yeah,
okay.
It is, actually.
A massive alligator attacked a Florida man fishing in a golf course pond. Quote, took his hand off. A man is in the hospital following a gator attack that happened Sunday afternoon in Leesburg, Florida. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission estimates the gator's length to be approximately 9 feet. The man was fishing in a pond, Pembroke Fairways, when the gator attacked him, biting off his hand. A witness spoke to Fox Channel 35, saw the whole thing play out in his backyard. He said, quote, while the guy was on the ground, the gator got the guy in the hand and the two rolled. The wife called 911, Lake County Fire Rescue, released the calls, and it sounds like total chaos. People stopped in their golf carts. Someone screamed, hand is gone, hand is gone. He was reeling in a fish. I mean, there's literally a sign that says, beware of the alligator. Even if there isn't a sign, just be aware that in Florida, even if it's a puddle the size of a shoe print, there's a gator in it. Do you know when we were at the last time I was in Florida, like in Florida, not just passing through, leaving the airport, and I was on a tram going to baggage claim or whatever, and I never check a bag, so I was just going to get a vehicle. And there's like a little swampy park area that all the trams go over. I saw two gators, hands to sky. I hadn't even been in the state for 10 minutes, and I saw two gators. They looked large-esque by my scientific estimation. Just saying. So that's all right. Also, another dude got bit up by a croc because I know. Was it a gator or a croc? His boat capsized in the Everglades National Park. I'm going to come back to this tomorrow because we have our third hour that's rushing up on us. But this one, if your boat capsizes in a park and there's water in Florida, nice life you lived. Stay with us.
First of all, this is not a ban on TikTok. I'm a grandmother of teenagers. I understand the entertainment value, the educational value, the communication value, the business value for some business on this. This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. a winner, a winner.
Bless her heart. Tic-tac-toe, a winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Oh, boy. Yeah, so I am... No, sorry. It's not about making it. Is it about making it better? Is it? I get weird when I disagree with Democrats on anything. It makes me immediately think that... What?
You mean agree with Democrats?
Yeah, that's what I said, right? Did I say
agree?
You
said disagree.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh. Whenever I agree with them, I'm freaking out.
Yes.
It's like, wow, you like this and I may like this? What?
I'm skeptical.
I'm always a skeptic. I am Diogenes, reborn. The original cynic, skeptic. All right, so welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. It's Wednesday. Always good to be with you, of course. I'm letting you know just what we're watching all this TikTok stuff that's happening. It's got to go through the Senate. Here's what I keep coming back to on this bill. And I actually think you might not think that this bill is important. Maybe you're not. I'm not on TikTok because I just can't. I'm allergic to I'm annoying about this. Let me just set it up. I'm going to bring the tugboat in. So bear with me. I like to bake, right? And I needed to get a white, marble pastry board because I have black countertops, right? And we have full sun in our kitchen. My countertops are always weirdly warm. Doesn't matter what time of day it is. They're just warm. They hold all the heat. And it's like the opposite of a travertine, right? A travertine is always cool. My countertops are always warm. And I like to bake. And it was a real problem whenever I was doing, and I noticed this especially over lockdown, whenever I was doing my pie crust and everything else, it didn't matter if I had my butter in the freezer. It didn't matter if I put my rolling pin in there. It just was so fast. I couldn't work fast enough and my pie crusts were just sucking. So I was reading all these cooking baking websites and all this. So I was like, I'm going to get just large enough for a pie crust that if I want to, I can even put it in the freezer for a minute of time. It's marble, so you can't, you got to be careful, but just to have something cooler that I can use to make my crust and keep it in the shade. And I looked everywhere because whether it was at Williams Sonoma or Sur La Table or even restaurant wholesalers, everything was made in China. Everything I found was made in China. Made in China, made in China, made in China. I looked for 2 months, almost 3 months, trying to find a good pastry board, and I finally found one that was made in Taiwan, and the marble was so... Oh yeah, I look where the marble sourced from. It was sourced from South Asia. It was maybe a little China adjacent, but it wasn't Chinese per se. But it was made in Taiwan, so I got that one, and I've been happy with it. Right, and ever since then, unless I can absolutely avoid it, because we have to be honest, there's so much that comes in from China. If it's made in China, I don't need it. I have a rule that if I can't pay cash for it, I don't buy it. I don't like to have debt. I am nuts. And if I can't get it not being made in China, then I don't need it. So I know it's difficult with things like antibiotics and stuff like that, because that's where they're sourced from. So going back to this, I am not on TikTok for that reason. I don't like doing Zoom for that reason. I have told people who wanted to have meetings about this or that, whether they're in New York or DC, can you hop on a Zoom? And I'm like, no, I can't. Sorry. I will literally not meet with you if that's what you require. I don't care. I won't do it. As Kane can attest, because he's been privy to a lot of this. So with this app, this is even weirder because ByteDance owns them. And I like Senator Rand Paul. He's one of my favorite people. I did correct him a little bit last hour because he was saying that, 60-something percent of ByteDance is actually owned by other people. But then in 2021, we forget that the CCP, ByteDance, they bought the golden share so they can outvote all the other shareholders. They control all of it. That was in 2021 that happened. The golden share they purchased at CCP. I do not want to run the risk, and I'm seeing this happen everywhere, of being tempted to use to have my patriotism expertly used against me by a foreign adversary. And that's what I hear happening. Those who are saying, well, it's not really owned by, it is though. Those who say, well, the government shouldn't be able to tell you what, I agree, but that's not what this is. I don't believe that illicit behavior or espionage is a free speech issue. And I'm a free speech purist. I don't believe that harvesting your private data and sending it to Beijing is a First Amendment protection that falls under that. But at the same time, I can't say that I'm entirely comfortable with the idea of the government demanding any companies divest or sell this as a result, in order to continue doing business in the U.S. or being available on app stores in the U.S. Even though I understand all of this nuance, it is so ingrained in my DNA. I have such an issue with it. Where do you stand on this, Kane? Where are you at on this?
What?
The TikTok thing. That's what we've been talking about just now.
Well, I know. I'm looking ahead. But the TikTok thing for me, I've never used it. I know my youngest uses it.
But are you uncomfortable with ByteDance? Or them telling ByteDance they have to divest in order to continue doing business here.
It's suspicious to me because I think the government control is what will always be the thread that continues through all of this, no matter how it evolves. Government control will always be there. And how are they going to, like you had brought this up last hour, how are they going to afford a $240 billion company? Who's going to buy that company?
Yeah.
Only governments can do that, could collectively do that.
Or somebody like Musk.
Or somebody, well, he's, you know, he's even limited. At $240 billion, he's pretty limited too. I don't know. To me, it's a dangerous thing for government to get involved. The fact that the left is happy about this makes me suspicious.
I wouldn't say it's all the left.
No, it isn't.
I mean, you have people like...
But all the suspicious players on the left.
Yeah, I agree. And I know you had brought up, like, well, doesn't this open an attack on Elon Musk? I don't think it does because Elon Musk is not considered one of the four foreign adversaries.
No.
That is defined in the text.
That is defined in there.
I did look.
And so what I'm thinking is this is just a step towards more of that.
In what way? Like, how would they expand on this?
Say, for example, they find some way to justify saying that Elon Musk's operation of X is causing something in the realm of national security. And somehow they manufacture something that allows the narrative in the public to at least seem that X has gone through those four hoops that they talked about in this legislation. And now they can target whoever they want. They just have to manufacture enough information that fills those hoops. So that they can go after whoever they want.
Because he's not China or Iran or North Korea or Russia, I think that kind of frees him from it. I will say that it is specific there. Because when I talked to Brennan Carr, I was like, okay, define foreign adversary. And he's like, well, it is defined in the...
Does he have any business interest in China? He does.
Oh, he totally does.
He absolutely does.
So that's the other thing. We talked about that yesterday. He totally does.
So
he needs that Chinese market for Tesla.
I envision the government finding a way to use that information.
But he's not domiciled there.
No. But that again, what does that matter when the government has a campaign against you? The truth doesn't matter.
Oh, I know. I agree. It's a sticky wicket.
Yeah.
It is. This is where I don't know where I land yet. I agree that there is some vagary in the legislation. From what I've read, I had a couple questions. I do agree that I don't think that it establishes, well, you know, if you're adjacent to one of these four foreign adversaries, because it does list four and it is defined, a federal statute does define it. However, I'm very wary because of how we saw the Patriot Act abused. They literally used, you know, remember the Patriot Act, this was after 9/11. And I remember Republicans were saying, I got yelled at again by Republicans because I was like, why do we need all of this? Why isn't this, go back to Ben Franklin's quote, if you think that you can give up some liberty for safety, you deserve neither. There were people who, you're just so, oh, Dana, you're so dumb. You don't know. I was in my, I guess, what, 20s when all this happened. You're just so dumb, Dana. You don't know. Like, well, I think I do. I feel like this is a little bit egregious here. Just a little bit of an overreach. And now look what happened. It was abused and manipulated and extended to include parents who spoke up at school board meetings. That's not an exaggeration. The reason that the FBI was able and other law enforcement agencies were able to look at parents in that way is because every single report was arbitrarily classified as a domestic security issue. Therefore, it amounted to essentially domestic terrorism. That classification was added later in their system, as was revealed talking to a House subcommittee when they were testifying on all of this. That was made possible because the Patriot Act reduced those boundaries between these agencies to prevent certain bits of the law from being applied to everyday average citizens simply over political dissent. So that is an actual real concern. And I think that some Republicans can't get mad at other Republicans or other conservatives or even other libertarians for that matter. You have to understand these are people who have seen all of these abuses for the past decade plus. I remember in Missouri, Tea Partiers were listed as potential domestic terrorists by the Missouri Highway Patrol under Governor Jay Nixon. It was the MIAC report, which I had broke the news on and reported about exclusively, still up online on my website, because flying the Gadsden flag, etc. So the idea that anything that the government establishes like this, the potential of it to be abused and or weaponized and extended to apply to other individuals over political dissent is not only a very real possibility, it's not even a possibility, it's history. It has happened. It has happened. It happened in 2010, 2011, 2012, and most recently with parents at school board meetings with the FBI. So you can't, I know we're there because I see a lot of infighting. Republicans can't get mad at these other Republicans for simply being worried about history repeating itself again. That being said, do not allow your patriotism to be weaponized against your concern for national security, because China would love to be able to tap into your patriotic sentiment to protect its ass. And that's what they're doing also. So it's a weird catch-22 area here.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
They have a chief heat officer in Arizona. You guys knew that? I didn't know that. It's a new chief heat officer in Arizona. They got a new one right ahead of heat season. They don't even call it summer. It's just heat season. They actually have one. Arizona Department of Health and Services announced their first statewide chief heat officer. Wow. Because they had 579 people last year alone, fatalities related to heat, heat-related causes. That's crazy. We should probably... Should we have one in Texas? I don't want one. No, you be your own chief heat officer. We don't need to spend more tax dollars on it. Florida homeowners are trying to offload their damaged properties, according to some reports. By the way, you know why some of the insurance is higher in Florida? Because they get hurricanes. It's like, why? Oh my gosh, it's called statistics. Florida has more damaged properties up for sale than any other state in the country, according to publicly available data on Zillow. People are trying to offload homes whose repairs actually would cost greatly and they think would maybe exceed the value of the home even. But they said that as of Thursday morning of last week, there were a total of 202,545 properties listed on Zillow. 963 were described as having some damage. And it's much higher in Florida than it is like California, which doesn't get hurricanes. New York also doesn't really get hurricanes. And Texas, which also really, unless you're right there in the Gulf, doesn't get hurricanes. They said it's like by a lot. New York had 20 damaged properties up for sale. Texas had 95. But they just say they have to disclose. Yeah, it's been in a hurricane, etc. But why is that like a surprising thing? I don't get it. I don't know. A housekeeper at a fancy midtown Atlanta hotel found $250,000 of cocaine in the closet. What? Okay. Housekeeper, downtown hotel, discovered $250,000 worth of cocaine. They said it was the Georgian Terrace Hotel in Midtown. And the housekeeper was cleaning a guest room and found a duffel bag with 9 bricks of cocaine in it. There you go. And what is this? It's a soup that's almost $2,000. The Drake Oak Brook, which is sounds like a pretentious restaurant. And you're right, it is. It is made with Louis XIII cognac. And it's a recipe that dates back to 1893. And the bowl of soup that's made with this cost $1,893.
Oh.
Yeah. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store after this.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We just had one of your Democratic colleagues, Congressman Moskowitz, on the show last night. He suggested that, for example, when it comes to the Israel Hamas war, that China is using TikTok's algorithms to ramp up divisions in this country. And that's one of the concerns that he has in terms of national security. Do you think there's any validity to that?
What I do think that people are finding discomfort is the fact that for the first time in our nation's history, Americans have access to real images of the horrors that are experienced by Palestinians daily. And the onslaught that is taking place, this horrific assault on Gaza, really is being streamed to every single person here in this country. So we no longer have to rely on legacy media to get that information. Every single person has the information directly from the mouth
of the people. This is Ilhan Omar on CNN saying, no, we've had by the way, we've had that from Hamas's media since the beginning of this, since they started all of this in the first place back in 05, 06. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this third hour, Dana Lash with you. Hamas's casualty data, they've been falsifying it. There was a statistician at Wharton that looked at it, and not just one, but like several since then. And they've looked and they've discovered that the casualty data that Hamas has been submitting is actually not accurate. They said they, quote, don't know how to avoid making anomalies obvious to Western analysts, end quote. That it's and which we know they've been fabricating. They've been releasing daily fake numbers. And they said they don't have an understanding of the behavior of naturally occurring numbers. They said that, quote, perhaps what is happening is the Gaza ministry is releasing fake daily numbers that vary too little because they don't have a clear understanding of this naturally occurring number. They said verified control data isn't available. And they also added that the absence of correlation between, for instance, the deaths of women and children is very odd. They said the split is different every day, but the total always the same. And there's just all of these other little things that stick out. I mean, not just New York Times and elsewhere, looking at the fabrication of their casualty numbers. They can't be trusted. So Paliwood has always, since all of this began, Paliwood has always, they've been doing this. They've been putting out fake images, photoshopped images. I mean, there's the infamous video of a guy who has been in, I don't know how many different videos. He's been killed six ways to Sunday. And all the videos that they have, I mean, they've been busted. This isn't hidden knowledge. I mean, it's out there public on the internet for everybody to see. So her idea, we don't have to rely on legacy media about the Gaza attack. You're right. We didn't have to rely on legacy media because Hamas took the reporters with them when they committed their atrocities against innocent Israelis. You're right, Ilhan Omar. We didn't have to really rely on legacy press because they used body cameras when they were raping the women and putting grenades in their vaginas and cutting their breasts off and putting babies in ovens and shooting family pets. You know why we have all of that video? Because they carried it on their person and then they released it publicly. So you're right. They didn't have to rely on legacy media to show the world the animalistic torture that they were subjecting innocent people to because they proudly showcased it themselves. You know, the friends that you have in Hamas that you're defending. Yeah. They showed it themselves. So you don't have to rely on legacy media for that. Just asinine. Absolutely asinine. So they, and you, of course, you have members of the squad who have been trying to push the administration further and further. They're responsible for this stupid peer thing that they're doing in Gaza. I wanted to switch it up and now bring it to this. If from the Hill. Punk is dead. So South by Southwest has been going on. South by Southwest, I think, used to be cool. And then it got over-commercialized and over-glorified and self-important and sucky. Well, this coming out of the Hill, bands are pulling out of South by Southwest over U.S. Army sponsorship and the Gaza war. You mean Israel defending itself against the terrorists that were elected to operate Gaza. Okay. So they said multiple bands and musicians scheduled to perform at South by Southwest are pulling out because of the U.S. Army's sponsorship and America's support of Israel's right to defend itself. I'm not going to say Israel's war on Hamas because this is Israel didn't declare a war on Hamas. Israel is defending itself against Hamas, who still has Israeli hostages, including babies, and also has American hostages. So there's a group from Belfast. They're called Kneecap. Nobody has ever heard of them and nobody cares. They're the ones who said that it was depraved. Okay, then GTFO. Don't let the customs door hit you in the ass on your way back to the land of the grain. Bye. They go, we can't in good conscience attend an art festival that's blah, blah, blah. Okay, then get out. Who are you? Nobody cares. Get out. They had a bunch of other crappy bands that pulled out of the event to protest. Nobody cares. That's it. And they had a British group, probably two chicks who can't play instruments. They said they had to pull out of South by Southwest because they didn't want to become totally inauthentic in their claims of solidarity with a non-existent entity that's governed by Hamas. Okay, bye. I just think that's when people wave the flag of stupidity, just let them. They're identifying themselves to you as limited in brain cells. But what I find interesting, if I could just, you know, pick a bone here. Who's heading up the delivery of humanitarian aid to the Gaza area, Kane?
Who's heading that up?
Yeah.
Who's our military?
Yeah, the army.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people that they're protesting right now.
Yeah.
Did any of the people in the brain trust stop to check that out? I'm protesting against the army that's leading up the aid effort.
Brain trust.
Yeah. I just meant that facetiously because we think they're morons. Yes, yeah. So they're actually spearheading it. Our military and the U.S. Army. They're helping to construct the seaport and deliver of humanitarian aid. But it was the U.S. Army apparently that's spearheading it via the Hill. And the Army says that it's, quote, proud to be a sponsor of South by Southwest. Now, I get it. People are like, why our tax dollars support the Army? Why is the Army doing this? Because they probably have it allocated within their budget to advertise for recruitment. Did you think of that? That's probably what it is. They got to, you know, what are you shaking your head for?
I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some people.
To smart people.
How do you not get it? You know?
I would rather them do that way than have a draft, but I get it. And I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing if it's about defense and if we're making the means of defense. I'm not opposed to that. I feel like that's actually not a wasteful use of dollars. Like, you know, sending $300 million to Ukraine, that's a wasteful use of dollars. Sending more aid to an area run by a terrorist group that was popularly elected and is still popular and takes all the aid for itself. That's a stupid use of money. But this isn't anything new. They're either canceling Sherry Curry, who is going to be on with us Friday, correct?
Yeah, she is.
She's going to be on with us,
yes,
the Runaways.
She is.
They were canceling her for the trans stuff. And now you have these groups. We're mad because the Army's sponsoring it. It's just dumb. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to remember. Because people don't go see live music the way they used to, do they? Now at South by Southwest, it's about being seen. It's about being seen and being able to say that you were there and taking pictures of yourself there. That's what it's about. I don't like festivals anymore. The last big actual festival that I went to was Memphis in May. Because I wanted to see, that's when, Susan Tedeschi performed. I saw Run DMC right after Susan Tedeschi, Allman Brothers Band.
Tedeschi Trucks is one of
Tedeschi Trucks is great. This is right before Tedeschi Trucks formed. And then Run DMC came on right after. And then the Foo Fighters. It was amazing. Like, all literally, like, that's one lineup. Right? But I just don't have a tolerance for a lot of people because, you know, a lot of people, heat and liquor, it gets, you know, I just don't like that scene. I prefer to be quiet and lurk in the shadow. So, but I like good music and I really, I'm like, wouldn't be able to go see that. It was an amazing show. But South by Southwest, does anybody go there anymore? Aside from wannabe influencers? And bands that I get programming and musicianship are different things. And people who can't play music anymore and auto-tune everything. I don't know. Kane and I are just cruel when it comes to music.
We're jaded.
we're jaded and downright cruel. I mean, you think Simon Cowell's mean? Please. He's a cupcake. He is. So just say, if you want us to review your stuff and be totally honest, if you want us to totally destroy you, just send us your stuff. Because he worked as a music DJ. I can actually play instruments. We'll kill you. So just, you know, just send it. If you want to be humbled or you want to have your day ruined because you're a masochist, I don't know. Just like send it over. I don't know. Yeah. Well, free of charge. So a few of the other, I don't mean to be mean, but yes, I do. So in 2024, just throw this out here real quick. Axios has the story. Democrats' big vulnerability, they're hemorrhaging minority voters. Again, though, what this shows, I looked at this, all these surveys that they're citing, this is what Republicans need to be aware of. Yes, Democrats are losing these people. That doesn't mean they're automatically, it's an auto-migration to the GOP, though. They're kind of floating in the independent area, meaning they're up for grabs, but don't get comfortable and think that you don't have to actually evaluate this and determine what this means in terms of shaping policy and messaging. And I hope Republicans don't forget that, because I feel like everyone's just assuming that these voters are just going right over to the GOP. They're not. They can't stand Biden. And they think he's bad, which he is. I watched an interview with a couple. It's a black couple. And they both voted for Barack Obama in 08. They voted for him again in 12. And then the one guy voted, the husband voted for Trump and the wife voted for Hillary. And then the husband voted for Trump and the wife voted for Biden. And now they're both voting for Trump. And she was saying, I can't, economically, I can't do this. I can't live my life like this. And she says, I want to have children and I want to have a family. And these policies are not conducive to that. The economy that they've created isn't conducive to that. She's exactly right. It's the economy, stupid. Every time. Republicans need to not get too comfortable and they need to remember this.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Inflation is down 2/3, and we have the lowest annual core inflation since May 2021. Prices fell over the last year for gas, milk, eggs, chicken, appliances, and also used cars. Wages are rising faster than prices over the last year since the pandemic, and forecasts broadly expect progress on inflation to continue over the rest of the year.
This is a nice fairy tale she's reading. Super nice. Nice little story. Yeah, wages are... Do you know Dollar Tree and Family Dollar are closing 1,000 stores? Because them wages are going up, though. Except they're not. You get to have the invisible tax of your dollar not going far enough because the government won't stop spending money. Welcome back. Dana Lash here with you. The conclusion of this third hour. Yeah, they're closing 1,000 different... It's not even really a dollar anymore, is it? That's the Dollar Tree. I mean, they say a dollar. It's not really... So, but they have a lot of leases expiring. They said that because everything's getting expensive. They've been dealing with all kinds of issues.
And theft.
And crap, like with the Taco Bell and, you know, California having to close a bunch of stuff in Oakland and elsewhere.
This is a result, and Cut 22 like lays this out perfectly if you want to play this, but people think inflation, oh, what's it at, 3-something?
Yeah, do it. This is Gary Cohn.
Listen to this about inflation.
Inflation has a compounding effect, meaning as you look at inflation year over year, you're adding up those numbers. You're not starting at a zero every year. So if we had 6% inflation last year, 7% inflation, and now we have 4% inflation, that's 10% inflation. So if you take a basket of groceries at the beginning of 2020, just a simple basic basket that cost $100, it costs well over $125 today, because those 4% 1 year and 7% 1 year and 7% the next year, they add up. They're cumulative. So there's a huge cumulative effect inflation.
So when people are being told, consumers, you're wrong, inflation's heading, no, they're right.
They're completely right. Actually.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we all know it.
Don't be fooled, people.
Yeah, don't be fooled. Don't take the bait. Don't be fooled. So make sure you go sign up for Substack, Chapter and Verse, my newsletter. I have a lot of stuff that goes out there. I got a couple of things coming out today. And you can also find us over at YouTube. Some of our past interviews, we'll get that up on Substack as well and sent out to the subscribers, especially the one with Brendan Carr, because I think it was a very interesting discussion. But we're going to see with what happens in the Senate with the TikTok bill. But they said that Gen Z was like, you're going to lose our votes. And I'm like, you don't vote anyway. So, and what are you going to do about it? You don't vote anyway. All right, today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, it is our, I guess, what do we call her? The Treasury Secretary, right?
Janet Yellen.
Janet from the planet. Janet Yellen.
Planet Janet.
She is. I know. That's got to be our new.
Schoolhouse Rock.
It's got to be our new one.
Okay.
For her. Here she is talking about. Remember 3 years ago when she said, inflation is transitory. Don't worry about inflation.
Yeah.
It's transitory. Listen to what she says to this report.
In 2021, you did say that inflation was transitory. Do you regret saying that now?
I regret saying it was transitory. It has come down, but I think transitory means a few weeks or months. See, to most people.
The people lying to you the most about inflation, mm-hmm, is the government.
That's right.
Those are the people lying to you the most on inflation. She just said there, inflation's going down. And we just heard the clip of that economist say, inflation actually gets added year after year. We don't start at zero every year.
That's
inflation's
true.
Not going down.
It's not going down. Folks, that does it for us tonight. Make sure you find us Substack, Chapter and Verse, Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. Have a great night.